Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Back at it again. Oh my God, I am back in New York, my true home, the place where it all started, and the stories that I fucking have for all of you today. I hope everybody is ready. And welcome to Sophia with an F. If you could please hit me with a subscribe, rate, review. I'm self-employed, but I do kind of have a boss. And when you subscribe to the show, I get a gold star. And even more than that, I get in less trouble because I am always on the shit list. Shocking. I fucking know. So where do I even begin? Oh, my fucking flight over here. I was almost put on the no-fly list. Dead serious. I almost got kicked off of my flight. So I took the red eye flight. And if you don't know what a red eye is, it's when you fly late at night and you show up at your destination in the morning. So I got on the plane at 11 p.m. and did not land in the city until 6 a.m. 10 out of 10, do not recommend. So I'm sitting in the window seat. I put my AirPods in, grab my book. I'm like, just fucking get me to New York. I am exhausted. And this younger lady and her husband walk up. And I could just tell instantly that this lady was going to be annoying as fuck. She's sitting in the middle seat next to me. So she's between me and then this older man. And she asked the dude if he could switch places with her husband because they are traveling together. I'm actually like shocked she didn't ask me and like a little bit offended. I must have looked really fucking miserable. Les miserables. So she asked the guy and the guy is like, sorry, it's a long flight. I'm not sitting in a middle seat, which I totally understand. For the fucking duration of the flight, she's leaning over and talking over this poor man to her husband who's in the row across from us in a middle fucking seat also. Just so obnoxious, so fucking inconsiderate. Like, bitch, fix your fucking codependency issues. You and your husband will survive this flight without sitting right next to each other. I promise you, you will be fine. Oh, and then on top of it, the background on her phone and her laptop is a picture of her and her husband kissing each other. Throw up in my fucking mouth. Anyways, I'm fucking exhausted. So I fall asleep right away. And I wake up a few hours later. And this is where things get really fucking good, you guys. I decided to hit my pen. Not a weed pen. You guys know I fucking hate weed. My CBD pen. Very illegal. Very, very, very illegal to do on an airplane. Very not smart. But you know what? This ain't my first fucking rodeo. And I was gonna do the shit so inconspicuously. There was no way that I was gonna get caught by the flight attendant. Okay? So underneath my mask, underneath my sweater. Like, I literally put my head inside of my hoodie. I hit the pen. I wasn't out here like fucking blowing O's, passing a blunt around the airplane. I know what I'm doing. I hit the pen twice, fucking swallowing the smoke like oxygen. Not a trace in sight. I put my neck pillow back on and I start to close my eyes to go back to sleep. And I notice the lady next to me starts like frantically moving around and taps me on the shoulder. So I take my AirPods out and I'm like, what's up? And this fucking lady says to me, I saw what you just did and I'm going to tell on you if you do it again. Excuse me? Like, are we in fucking middle school? Oh, so you're A, threatening me. B, oh, you're gonna tattletale on me. Like, sweetie, please don't let your anger out on me because you couldn't sit next to your husband who probably fucking hates you. We can all hear you typing away on your laptop, probably texting him while everyone's trying to sleep, like fucking slamming on your keyboard. We all hear you. But I handled it really well. And you guys are going to be fucking proud of me because usually I am the most conflict avoidant person ever. But like something came over me. It was the delinquent Sophia from my past just took over. And I was just like, my attorney will get me out of it. I wish I would have fucking said that. That would have been really epic. I did not say that. I just decided to gaslight the fuck out of her instead. And I basically was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was not doing that. You are crazy. To which she responded that she could smell it. Okay. So then I said, can you explain the smell to me? I'm still not understanding. Because here's the thing, I know damn well there is no good way to explain what fucking CBD pen smoke smells like. Think about it. Oh, it smelled like how would you even explain that fucking smell? And as expected, she did not answer my question. She just kept like repeating that she could smell it and was gonna tell on me. So I told her, I can't believe I did this. I told her that I had just put on some cherry chapstick and that's probably what she smelled and that she was confused. Then this is where shit got out of control. I thought 100% we were gonna throw down and I was gonna get arrested and like put on the no-fly list. She goes, well, what's in your hand then? Listen, unless you are a flight attendant or the fucking pilot, I am not answering that question. Who does this bitch think she is? Does she work for TSA? Is she gonna ask to search my bag? What the fuck are we doing here? So, like a fucking magician, I tuck the CBD pen behind my phone because I was for sure holding it and like she knew it. But you guys have to realize it's fucking so dark in the plane. We're flying at night. So I tuck it behind my phone. I put my phone in her face and I said, why are you looking at anything I'm holding? I'm holding my fucking AirPods and my phone. Please don't look in my direction again. I'm not fucking looking at you and I dare you to tell on me. Ooh, Sophia, I knew I had it in me. So she just kind of sat there. We did not say one more word to each other the rest of the fucking flight. And she just spent the rest of the flight typing frantically away on her computer, probably complaining to like her dumbass husband. And of course that bitch didn't fucking tell on me because she was embarrassed for being a fucking narc and I exposed her. Ugh, mind your own damn business. Am I alone here? Because as far as I'm concerned, the person next to me on a flight does not exist. They would have to do some wild shit for me to say anything. and I wonder why I got denied for global entry. Don't care. They don't fucking deserve me. That experience just like really reminded me that I'm just that bitch, you know, and I will stand my ground if I need to. Leave me the fuck alone, girl. Anyways, the bigger story is I'm back in New York. I did not realize how fucking much I have missed it. It has felt so good because I think I kind of lost a little part of myself or put a little part of myself away, you know, when I like moved back home and it came back. The amount of shit that has transpired in just a few days is just insane. I have ran into so many people, not to name drop, but I was eating dinner with my comedian friend, and Trevor Noah did stop by the table to talk to us. Very attractive. The accent with the dimples, I mean, just sexy as fuck. But that's not who I want to talk about. I ran into someone very, very exciting. So I went on the Horrible Decisions podcast. And after the recording was done, I ran into Charlamagne the God and then Andrew Schultz. If you don't know Andrew, aside from being a comedian and a podcaster and whatever else he does, he was the guy I was supposed to go on a date with once who stood me up. And let me just say, after meeting him, he is everything that you would expect. He is exactly the type of guy who would stand a girl up an hour before a date. If you ever get stood up on a date, please, for the love of God, take that as a blessing. I mean, if a guy is going to do that, it says a lot about what type of guy he is. And it's honestly God's way of saving you from a waste of time and energy. Believe me, okay? But him standing me up over 2 years ago isn't the important part. I mean, it's fucking hilarious, but that is not what I'm here to talk about. Listen to this shit. As I'm walking away, after greeting them like the nice, civil person that I am, this motherfucker, Andrew, yells, "Sorry for breaking up your show." And I'm like, what? I mean, I didn't say what. I said, "Please shut the fuck up, LOL." But this is what really grinds my gears. It's that egotistical, successful man shit that I despise. I just greeted you nicely. I have actively worked so hard to move past all that bullshit, and I'm in such a better place now, but you are so fucking lame that you said that shit to me as I'm walking away. Like, you were all smiley and nice to my face, and you shout that as soon as I start walking away. Pussy shit. I have said this before, and I don't know how many times I have to say it. No man, okay? No anyone is the fucking reason the show broke up. That shit was a ticking time bomb, and no self-inflated man can say that they were the reason for something that was so much bigger than them. Like, get a fucking grip, dude, please. Ladies, can we just please knock these men down a few fucking notches? Because in some way, shape, or form, they will always try to take credit and get clout off some shit that has literally nothing to do with them. Woo! Guys, this will be a positive episode, but I need to share the tea with my sleuths. And anyway, Charlamagne was really fucking cool and professional though. Love him. I'd love to work with him. Breakfast Club, hit me up. So that's my little New York update, you guys. Oh my God, I'm like losing my voice. But let's get into the episode with my guest, Robert Green, who is a real gentleman and a real man and the true love of my life. If you didn't hear last week's episode, I highly recommend going back and listening to that first, because we talk about a lot of thought-provoking stuff and people fucking loved it. So let's get into the episode. As always, don't forget, questions and advice by yours truly at the end. How
Have you ever noticed how celebrities have brighter, wider looking eyes? Their makeup artists have a little secret in their kit. Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute. It literally happens right before your eyes to help them look brighter, wider, and more awake for up to 8 hours. No wonder it's so loved by influencers, celebrities, and makeup artists, and has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Lumify is also the number one eye doctor recommended redness reliever eye drop, and it's FDA approved. No bleach, no dyes. Plus, it's made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, so whether you're on set, on a date, or running on just a few hours of sleep, you can have eyes that look brighter and wider with Lumify eye drops. When you try it, you'll see that it's what your eyes have been looking for. Check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We talked about this briefly, but the sending mixed signals, and Robert, you tell me if I'm correct, because I think I've practiced this. I went to a party once, and I remember it very vividly. I was talking with a guy, and we hit it off right away, and we were spending a lot of the night talking, and I started to feel that he wasn't as interested or was maybe getting bored with the conversation. Maybe too many hot girls were joining the party, like whatever it was. He just started to get kind of fidgety looking around the room. So I took that as my, you know, my message, and I left and I went and talked to all the other men at that same party. I did not look in his direction. Great. And let me just, works like a charm.
If I had been whispering in your ear at that time, it's exactly what I would have told you to do.
Good, good. Thank you. It's, I mean, almost instantly he runs over to me and is just, you know, attached to my hip for the rest of the night, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of a good example. But what are some examples that you think for sending mixed signals, maybe like earlier on in the seducing phase?
Well, actually, I would say more of what you did is another law in there, like one afterwards, which is appear to be an object of desire and use triangles. So you got him excited by the fact that other men were maybe interested in you. And you appealed to his kind of competitive interests and you kind of raised your value in his eyes. But mixed signals, if you're just some one-dimensional person, you just have this one personality that people know you as, you're very gregarious or you're very shy or whatever. You know, we know you, we've pegged you. There's no mystery. We're gonna take you for granted, as I talked earlier. But if I sense that you're shy, but there's also another kind of personality trait peeking through every now and then that shows you're actually a very sexual person or whatever that kind of goes against the initial impression, I'm going to start thinking about you. And seduction is a game about making the other person think about you and fantasize about you. And once you have presence in their mind and they're thinking about you, you've gone halfway towards a seduction. And so you want to mix in a sense of mystery, that they don't ever really know you completely, that there's other qualities in you that they haven't suspected. And it's not like if you're both angelic and sluttish or whatever, you seem insane. You seem insane. No one will go near you.
Right.
If it's just a touch of that other quality, then it seems like, I don't really know this person. They're worth me following. I'm kind of interested. I'm intrigued. It's like if you've ever watched a good movie and there's a character in there who suddenly reveals a quality that you hadn't suspected in them. Wow, you're surprised. You're excited. You want to watch the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So you're creating that same kind of dramatic impression where, wow, I didn't think that person had that in them. And that's very exciting and very seductive.
Right. And it's adding just, again, like you said, the dimension to someone, which is like really what we want. Is there a way to condense kind of, you know, this book just in terms of women needing to seduce a man on a first date? They want to get a second date. They want to get a third date. Like, are there things they can do on that first date?
Well, every man is different. So you have to kind of scope out, what makes them an individual.
Right.
You have to realize, as you pointed out, that most men like the chase, right? They're excited by the chase. I mean, hundreds of thousands of years ago, we were all men were hunters, right? And so we basically remain hunters. That's what makes that kind of fuckboy that you first described to me. We're excited by the pursuit itself. So the biggest mistake you will make in that first date is by being too available, right? And by seeming like, you know, you've already been seduced by him. You already want him. It's going to be easy catch and easy prey. And so you need to do things like you did, where it makes it seem like, maybe I'm interested in other men in that room. Maybe there are other men interested in me, right?
Right.
So you want to initially you need to be able to take that step back, right? And, some men that won't work on, but I can guarantee you 90% of them, it will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you want to do, one target that's very important that I can never insist on too much on, is you want them to do 70% of the talking, but not realize it. They think you're doing the talking or whatever, but actually they're doing most of the talking. And I know with men, it's kind of easy for that because they kind of do a lot of mansplaining and they tend to talk too much. But if you can get him to kind of open up and talk about himself and talk about things that are kind of emotional to him, and that could be just sports, I don't care what it is, or it could be their childhood. People love talking about their childhood.
Wow.
And it gives you all kinds of really interesting information. If you know about his weird relationship with his mother or his sisters or something going on deep in his unconscious that he's not even aware of. So you want to be able to take a step back and let him feel that he can pursue you and up your value in his eyes. And you also want him to do more of the talking so you can get a sense of what his spirit is like and what motivates him and excites him. And also he will like that feeling that he gets to be kind of the star and gets to talk a lot. These would be some of the things that I think are very important in the initial date. I mean, there could be others, but that's what comes to mind right away.
Let him do 70% of the talking. Not to toot my own horn again, Robert, but I feel like on a first date, that is usually the way I play it. I think a lot of people love to talk about themselves and people don't realize that, and they feel they need to be talking the whole time. But I always like to, without making it obvious, get deep, right off the bat in the first date and get him to like really reveal things about himself. So yeah. I'm just a born natural.
And you can't be too obvious about it. You can't be asking a lot of questions that are probing. That can be irritating. It's kind of in the natural flow of conversation. they're not even aware that they're talking so much because you hit upon subjects that excite them, you know, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think a way to make it less obvious, and I know I do this, is maybe I'll make a remark about my childhood and then turn it over to them, you know, so it's more comfortable.
Right.
Oh, something you mentioned earlier, and I am so interested, is you said form a triangle and let them know that you're wanted by others. How do we form a triangle? The only thing I can think of is sending yourself flowers and pretending it's from a man or something in their presence. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, you did it. You did it at that party that you were mentioning, or that bar where you went over and got other men. Okay, I can give you an example from my own life.
Okay.
The woman that I'm currently with, this was some years ago. It was my birthday. And we had already had, like, I think 2 dates at that time. And I wasn't really sure if she was that interested in me or not. It was kind of a bit confused. And so I invited her to this party where I knew that 8 of the 10 people there would be these beautiful women who happened to all be my friends at the time, right?
I love it.
So I knew, and she said later that it worked, you know. It gave me an aura that, you know, first of all, I could get along with women, that I wasn't just somebody who could only hang out with men, but also they were all very pretty, very attractive, very well-dressed. And they were clearly kind of interested in me enough to show up at my birthday party. And so it kind of excited her competitive interests, and it kind of upped her, my value in her eyes. Women can be very, very competitive, right?
Yeah.
When they sense that a man is, other women are attracted to him, I mean, it's the classic case of the married man and the woman who only goes after the married man because mm-hmm. she knows he's already taken. And if he's already taken, that means other women have been interested in him. Therefore, I should be interested in him, right?
Yes.
So the way to create triangle is not that difficult. It's just to show that people of the opposite sex, if you're straight, are interested in you, right? Mm-hmm. And however you do that, you can accidentally reveal a text from one of them. You know, it shows up on your phone, and your phone happens to be there, or an email or something, or you have a photograph there, and then who's that person? You go, oh, that was my old boyfriend. He's now this great rock star, whatever, you know, I don't know. There's a million ways you can do it. And you don't want to be too obvious, but the sense that other people are interested in you, it's very simple. If you're walking the streets of New York and you're trying to decide what restaurant you want to go to that night, mm-hmm. you pass by a restaurant in which it's very large, but there are only 2 people inside. I don't know. I don't think so. What's going on?
Totally.
You pass a restaurant with the 30 people that are all drinking. They're all excited. Yeah, I'm going to go in there. It's only because we see that other people are interested in something. We're animals that are very interested in what other people possess. And that very much overlaps into love and seduction.
Mm-hmm.
So appealing to their competitive interests, however you do that. And men are very competitive.
Yes, yes. And I have been so susceptible to that before, where I've, you know, looked up the restaurant beforehand on Yelp and it's the most incredible food ever. And I see there's no one there. And I'm like, we need to turn around. There's some, like, I don't know what it is. It was just so ridiculous.
I mean, if you start dating a guy and you know he's never really had a girlfriend before, or he's only had a girlfriend that only lasts like a few days, you know, red flags go up in your head. But if you hear he's had these 3 long-term relationships and all these other women interested in him, it sort of makes, well, maybe he's got more value than I thought he had.
And I think it's also important to point out, this is not just for single people listening who are dating. This is for people who are in relationships and have been in them for a long time.
Yeah.
You've said a second seduction is required. And I would love to hear more about that because I think it's so true.
So it's all a matter of balance. So let's say seduction has succeeded. You're now intimate and you're now seeing each other and it's been a month. Okay, you're going to turn down the temperature just a little bit. You're not going to be doing all of the same things. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, you have to take that person back to that original moment that created that spark with you. Right. And when things begin, that's when they're most intense, right? That's when we're most excited. That was the most pleasurable and most exciting period, right? And you want to slowly bring them back to that moment to recreate it on some level. It's not going to ever be exactly the same. How do you do that? Well, surprises. First of all, in seduction, you're surprising the other person by a gift. But okay, now you're in the relationship. It's been several months. You're going to suddenly surprise them by giving them a gift like you gave them in the beginning that was very thoughtful, that appealed to their, you know, to who they were, to their personality. Or you're going to take them back to that restaurant, or you're going to take them to another place that is new and different and equally exotic and exciting, but not expected. So you want to do these little bomb surprises every now and then, where the other person is kind of kept off balance and goes, wow, he hasn't reached that point where he completely takes me for granted. And he's still trying. He's still putting in effort, right? And, right. You know, it can be in little things in everyday life. So a major problem that will occur in a relationship is, you know, you're at the table and you're just in your smartphone and you're not paying attention anymore. And it's obvious that that initial attention, it's kind of withered. It's kind of gone a bit stale. So what you want to do is you want to go the opposite direction, where you sort of want to engage them in a conversation again, like you did in the very beginning, in which you're really trying to understand them and you're getting them to talk and you're getting inside their world, their spirit, right? And so you do this every now and then. If you've been in a relationship for several years, you're not going to be doing it every week. It's too tiring. It's too obvious. So you're going to slow this down as the years go by. But also, you know, every now and then, do your strategy where you actually artificially instigate a fight just so that you can have that moment of reconciliation. I forget the word they call it, you know, like reconciliation sex or whatever the word is.
Yeah, you know? Makeup sex. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. That's much more poetic than mine. You know, so you'll instigate even a little bit of fight, a little bit of drama to shake things up. Because I think what really makes a relationship go stale is that there's no more drama, there's no more surprise. So every now and then, you've got to completely shake up that stale dynamic that tends to inflict all relationships.
Right. You're always playing a game. The games never end, really, ever. You know, you still have to play them. What I'm dying to know, out of all the seduction techniques, which do you find the most important, or which one... You know, they could just take one away, and I know it's hard to answer, but like in a nutshell.
Well, it's in the initial phases, and I call it enter their spirit, and I already kind of touched upon it. But I think it's the most important one of all. Because think of it in your daily life, in your job, in your work world, et cetera. People are never really paying attention to you as an individual. Now, Sophia, as far as I know, you have your own world, your own thoughts, your own desires. You have your own childhood, your own weaknesses, your own strengths, right? But no one's ever paying attention to it. No one's ever signaling that they understand the inner world of Sophia. They're not interested in it. And we go through life where people, even our parents, don't even seem that interested in what's going on in our heads. So to give another person the feeling, just for a moment, that you're not like that, that you think it's very interesting what's going on in their head. You actually want to know more about what excites them, about what repulses them, about their values in life, their ideas. It is incredibly seductive, right? And so I know a problem that a lot of men have, and maybe women do nowadays, is you're in that first date or the second date, and you're talking, but you're actually hearing your own voice. You're always going, does she like me? Is she really that interested in me? Or, you know, my boss was saying earlier in the day, your thoughts aren't in the moment, right?
Right.
And the other person can pick that up. They sense it. They smell it off of you, right? And it can stem from your insecurities. You think that you're trying to please them, but you're really just worried about yourself and what they're thinking about you. And instead, if you're just thinking about them, if you're absorbed in their words, absorbed in their life and their experience, and you're trying to pick out, I say in a conversation, you want to pick out these little nuggets of information that people will inevitably reveal. It won't be necessarily in the exact things they say. It'll be in their tone of voice and their eyes. They talk suddenly about this old boyfriend or girlfriend of theirs, and suddenly this emotion starts coming up. You want to feel what these things are, and you want to pick out these nuggets. And then later you have information that you can go back to that will reveal that you were actually listening to them in the conversation. So the next day you say something that you had heard the day before. It was just something sort of said off, you know, offhand. And you return to it and they go, wow, he really was listening to me. That's amazing. Nobody ever listens to me. Right. I think that chapter on entering the other person's spirit is by far the most important seductive technique.
Wow. 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 So brilliant, Robert. I cannot thank you enough for coming on my show. My listeners are going to love this and they're going to love you. I need to have you back. I need Professor Robert Greene to do a SLU University. Or maybe we can co-write a book, Robert. When your next book launches, we can do it right after.
What will that book be about?
It will be the 50 laws on how to seduce the fuckboy, get him to settle, and be a SLU. It'll be all those things, 50 laws.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Okay, I can't wait. Robert Greene, everyone, he just said he's going to co-write a book with me. We have it recorded. Great. Robert, you have a book that is coming out like very soon.
Oh, right. So what I've created is a book in which every day of the year, there is an extract from one of my books or from blogs or podcasts like yours, in which I'm kind of explaining sort of an essence, like we discussed here. One of the months has to do with just seduction. I'm sort of explaining the essence of an idea. And so every day you're going through this kind of calendar, just beginning January 1st or whenever the book is in your hand, and you're kind of meditating on this one kind of realistic perspective on seduction, on power, whatever it is. And it's kind of inculcating you, educating you in my way of looking at the world. And I'm hoping by the end, because when I write a book, I'm not just trying to entertain you or give you a lot of bullshit information, which is what happens in a lot of self-help books. Mm-hmm. I know this might sound a little bit arrogant, but my idea is I want to change how you think. I want to get inside your head and change how you literally look at the world. So this book is designed to take you through the main issues in your life, your career, your power games, your problems with influence and persuasion and seduction, and your inability to understand the people you deal with and kind of absorb you in this other way of thinking. So by the time you've gone through the whole year, you'll be a different person. I mean, that's sort of the ambition of it.
I love that idea, especially because there's so much knowledge in a book. And, you know, I always am like, I need a refresher. I need to like go back and look at this chapter. And this way, every single day, I can, you know, be meditating on a certain aspect. I think that's brilliant. So The Daily Laws, October 12th, everyone needs to go get it. Trust me. Like Robert was saying, this is not cookie cutter, you know, basic knowledge. This shit is banned in prisons. All right. Let's just put it that way. There's a reason.
That gives me instant cred, doesn't it?
Yes. There's a reason they don't want this book in criminals' hands, okay? Because it's good.
Particularly The Art of Seduction.
Ah. I know. Right. I saw.
Yeah,
well, anyway. Thank God we're not in prison. And Robert is going to be teaching at SLU University. Robert, we're going to humble salary to start.
Is there a SLU University?
Yes, there is. It's not a real university, but it will be one day. This was a SLU university of sorts.
Okay. And I'm like a visiting professor.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
And you nailed it. I can't pay you that much, but, you know, we'll give you tenure. We'll give you all those things.
we'll figure something out.
Yes. Okay, Robert, thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Sophia.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Prioritizing your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. With AG1, just one scoop of this foundational nutrition supplement delivers your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. With AG1, you're giving your body high-quality nutrition with ingredients that are sourced for absorption, potency, and nutrient density. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/odyssey. That's drinkag1.com/odyssey. Check it out.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
I want to get into SOS, Save Our Sleuths, where I answer questions and give advice, good advice, bad advice, advice that fucking works. And let's just jump right fucking in, okay? Number one. Hi, Sophia, you gorgeous bitch. You know I left that in there on purpose. Every time I go out, and especially when I'm drinking heavily, I always put my foot in my mouth. I either let some gossip slip that backfires, or I say something totally taboo that people don't normally talk about in social settings, and I always end up embarrassing myself. How do you read the room and keep yourself from saying something that may ruin your reputation? Please help, Slew. Love you and love the pod. Here's the thing with gossip. This is my take on it. If you have an occasional slip up because you are way too drunk, that's not good. Like, that's not cool at all. Hopefully, the other person was just as drunk, so they don't remember, or you can blame it on, you know, you being too drunk and say you made it up and it was a lie. And I hope and pray to God, like, it wasn't something too personal. The bigger issue with this question is gossiping to get close to someone. I see this all of the fucking time, especially like if you have like social anxiety and you can't fucking handle like a silence or a pause in the conversation or like a people pleaser. So you gossip to like make up for that. You do it because you're hoping that they will relate to it. So then you guys have like this common bond, and that's something you need to fucking change. But it sounds like sometimes you're not gossiping. You just say something outlandish for the people you're talking to, right? Because I mean, I'm thinking about myself and the shit that comes out of my mouth. Basically, 87% of what I say would be considered like taboo at an average, you know, dinner table. So it's kind of a foreign concept to me, but I think you need to learn to gauge the room. There are certain things to look for. If you're with your really close friends and they think what you say is taboo, you might want to get like other friends you can talk to about that. They might not like be really good friends, whatever the fuck it is. There are certain aspects to look for. Are you talking to young people? Are they drunk as fuck? Because then you can like get away with whatever. I mean, you could say some wild shit and like no one will give a fuck. But if these people are maybe, you know, more sober than you, which I know, honeybee, you can tell if people are more sober than you in that room, then that is a moment where you need to keep your mouth shut. And trust me, just like Robert Greene said, they love talking. Just ask questions. Do you know how easy it is to sit there and ask questions and make people think you care, and then that makes them like you more? That's all you got to do, baby girl, until you get your drinking to a level where you can like talk normally and not spill gossip and not feel like you need to put your foot in your mouth. A lot of this will come with age, so don't worry, young grasshopper. Sophia, I'm here. I've got you. All right, next. Hi, Sophia, queen of the sleuths. I nearly almost got fired today, and I can directly blame your podcast for it. I work part-time for a client to post on his business's Instagram page. Well, today I was screen recording something from his website to post on the Instagram page. I clipped the video, posted it, and didn't think about it again. 3 hours later, I get an email from my client saying, "The audio on the last Instagram post is not suitable for work." And that is when I realized, I was listening to your podcast when I screen recorded the video. They had already deleted the video, so I quickly went into my photo album to see what the damage was. I had my fingers crossed that maybe the audio on the screen recording didn't include anything too inappropriate. Nope! The first thing I hear is Sophia's voice saying, "I would uninsert his penis from my vagina, take the condom and start strangling him with it." I was so mortified. The worst part is that I have no idea how long the video was up for before he deleted it. Miraculously, I was not fired, as the client is a super chill guy, maybe a secret sleuth. In my defense, I had no idea that a screen recording would pick up what I was listening to on my AirPods. Anyways, stay sleuty, but don't be stupid like me. What in the actual fuck? Okay, first of all, am I just old or I am just inept when it comes to technology? Someone get this girl a PR package. Like, what the fuck? I want to point out, I didn't realize screen recording would pick up the sound. So now we all fucking know. And this is why this fucking podcast is imperative, because I bet a lot of you didn't fucking know that. Oh my God. I'm like thinking back to any video I've sent in the past week and I'm like sweating. Like, I'm getting anxiety. But you know what? I think your boss is a secret sleuth. Or is on his way to becoming one after hearing the audio. I mean, how could you not? And maybe this could be like a bonding moment for you guys. You know, you guys listen to the show together. You fuck in his office, super hot. Regardless, thank you for telling me this story. I really, truly love you. But real advice, if you're dealing with old people, which I'm assuming you are because they're having you like run the page, just say like it was a hack or like a tech fuck up. Nothing on your end. Something to do with Instagram. I mean, Instagram was down all day yesterday. You could fucking say anything you want, you know? But good luck, Slew. All right, next. Hi, Sophia. You DM'd me. P.S. Still fangirling over that. Love you, girl. I need some help. Recently, I've been really feeling like I'm ready for a relationship, but the problem is that I'm usually super picky and can never find someone I'm interested in. I finally found someone I find attractive and added him on Snapchat, and I'm not sure how to make the first move. I'm a very friendly, flirty, and outgoing person when I meet people in real life, but for some reason, it doesn't translate online. I get really shy and end up leaving people on delivered, not read, delivered for hours or not even messaging them to start. So my question for you is, how would you hit up, quotation marks, someone online and stopping so shy? How do I hype myself up to make the first move and make sure I bring out my outgoing self over a message? Love you, Soph, and seriously look forward to every episode of the podcast. All right. First of all, I think it's super fucking cool that you are confident in real life and not as much online, because nowadays it's become the complete opposite for most people. So there's that. But with that being said, you're behind a screen, baby girl. This is when you can really fucking fake it till you make it and be confident, because worst case scenario, you just throw your phone at the wall or in a river or, you know, across the room and tell your friend that you want to die and like go to bed. That's easy shit. The not so easy shit is when you do that shit in person. But to be honest, I think you're overthinking it, because over text message and like messaging is where I really thrive. And I really like to like fuck with dudes, you know? I just let myself be super weird and I just use my humor, and like I don't really give a fuck, because listen to this, and this is the most important thing I'm gonna say in this answer. They don't care how you act via text message. I know it sounds fucked up, or DM or Snapchat or dating app. They don't really care how you behave on there. They care about your profile and your profile pictures. That's just how men are for the most part. So you could say some like outlandish shit like, oh my God, babe, I live next door. I watch you walk home every single day. You're so cute when like you pick up broccoli from fucking Walmart. You could say that shit and they'll be like, oh my God, this bitch is nuts, but she's like, I think she's cute, so I'm gonna like go on the date. So this is the last thing that you should think about. This is the time that you should not think about how you're texting or talking or acting at all. I would message on Snapchat straight up and be like, IDK, why even added you on here? I've never used this app. What's your number? He will send it. And then you text him something like, hey, guess who? Or literally anything. I dare you to Snapchat him like a fucking emoji of the meditation girl. Or like, what's like the craziest emoji? The fucking like a smiley face emoji, but it has like bubbles all over it, like it's disappearing. Text him whatever the fuck you want. He will respond. And boom, there you go. Just have fun with it, honestly. And if you're that bad of a texter, which me, hi, give him like a special vibration on your phone. So when the messages, you know, hit you, you know it's him and you will answer. All right, girl, you got this. But definitely you need to move the convo over to iMessage or fucking green text Android, whatever that is. Send things worth responding to, which really doesn't take much. Honestly, watch it. It will work. Send him a picture of anything. It's a challenge right now. If a guy hits you up on a dating app, send him a picture of a shoe and we'll see how it goes. Ooh, everyone's about to get a lot of feet pic requests. All right, next. Sophia, I need your help. I think my pussy is too small. Okay, backstory. I had sex in high school once, or at least I thought I did. I really only felt the tip. And then after a couple thrusts, he came. I bought a dildo to try things out, and I could never get the full dildo in me, just the tip a couple times. I lube it up, get it wet, and try to slip and slide that bitch in, but no luck. I want to get back out there, but I'm scared that if I try to fuck a guy, his dick won't fit. I'm in nursing school, and in one of my classes, we looked at diagrams of vaginas, and I realized my hole is way smaller than the pictures, and I found out that the average vagina is supposed to be 1.22 inches wide. Mine is the same size as my butthole. This question. Definitely less than an inch. Is that normal, or should I see a doctor to see if my vagina has something wrong with it? There is never anything wrong with your vagina. Let's start there, okay? I don't care if it's big, small, wide, tiny, flaps that go down your knees, no flaps. You have a vagina. Love it, live it, breathe it, live, laugh, love. We have been made to feel like we need to be ashamed of that shit. You don't need to. I'm trying really hard to not be jealous right now because I wish I had this problem, but I believe you 100%. You are not one of those like, oh my God, my pussy is so tight, I can't use tampons, girl. I mean, I can just already tell by your question. Your question is legitimate. This is what I would say. Don't let your first time having sex or the dildo you tried to use deter you. Dildos are weird, because I will admit to that. You really have to like relax your vaginal muscles, pelvic muscles, pelvic bone, whatever it is. You have to like angle the dildo a certain way and just like a bunch of shit. So don't base it off that. I think you should take your tiny, teeny, little tiny vagina out for a spin. And I think you should test it and try it out. Because even if you want to try it out on a guy that you're not that comfortable with and like you haven't been dating him, who cares? If you barely know the guy, that is a perfect candidate. And if it ends up hurting too much or isn't fitting, then I think we can like dive in deeper into this convo. Because I just don't think a one-time sex thing and a one-time dildo thing should deter you from experiencing what's out there. What I do know is that women have babies and that babies' heads are really big. A newborn's head is pretty fucking big. I saw my brother come out my mom's vagina. I never want to relive that. It was very scary. Blood everywhere. Terrifying. I don't know why they let me in the room. Their heads are definitely bigger than a penis and bigger than a dildo. So if that can come out of your vagina, you can adapt and something can go in. I'm sure of it. The muscles can like adapt to what you're trying to do. So don't get discouraged. Try it out with someone you're comfortable with. That's easy because you can be like, hey, bitch, go slow, easy. I'm really tight. He'll be like, oh my God, I want to come because you just said that. Or with a casual hookup, I think you can try it. Or if you don't feel comfortable with that, I think you can also do it with just dildos or objects. A dildo, a vibrator, the rabbit. Anything that can be inserted into your vagina safely, just try to relax, light a candle, play music, whatever you need to do, and play around with it. Okay, sleuths, that is it for today. If you can please subscribe and leave a rating and review, I swear I still have fucking people DMing me saying they left me one star because of, well, you know what and you know who. Haters gonna continue to hate. As always, follow me on social media, Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y. I'm going to have some fire fucking content because apparently I'm going to Tulum. Just found out today. I love you, sleuths, so, so much. Bye.